always there for me during my teenage years, and more than once talked me down from being even wilder and bitchier than I was. The only reason I haven't kept in touch with her in the last few years is that, well, she was Eli's friend, not mine. And I wasn't sure if... I'm going to email her the very second this mess is over. Let me guess, I swallow. You roll your eyes whenever I'm mentioned?
I do not.
Really?
I'm very good at skim reading.
I laugh. And laugh. And laugh. And then ask, voice smaller, is Eli really proud of me?
Very.
I may be about to cry again today, but for new and exciting reasons. Maybe I should invite him to my college graduation.
You haven't?
No. I just didn't think he would. I scratch my neck. Am I an idiot? Probably. Could you please not tell Eli?
That you're considering inviting him to your graduation?
No. That I'm in trouble. He huffs.
You're not in trouble, Maya. You are trouble.
The word makes me smile. Do you have any siblings?
3 brothers. Why?
Older?
All younger.
Is that why you don't get along with your dad? Did he unload all his hopes and dreams onto you because you're the eldest?
Phineas Harkness doesn't do hopes or dreams.
What does he do?
Coercion and manipulation.
It strikes me, all of a sudden, that Connor's last couple of days must have been as crappy as mine. That maybe I could do something nice for him, too. Tomorrow, before you leave Scotland, can I buy you breakfast? His eyebrow lifts. I bite back a smile. I have a job. I wouldn't be buying you breakfast with my brother's money, which comes from a pot that's so suspiciously similar to yours, you would basically be paying for your own meal.
There's no need.
He squares his shoulders, searching for a more comfortable position. A bubble of doubt floats upward that maybe he just doesn't want to hang out with me more than is strictly necessary. Except, he just showed up at my doorstep to help me feel less like a loser. Faced with such evidence that he does care, it's hard to feel insecure. I know there's no need. I still want to thank you for coming to make sure I'm all right.
I did it for Eli. Can't let my best worker slack off because of a family emergency.
Uh-huh. Sure. I know a good place. What's your cell number? Your call was unknown.
My number? That's a big ask, Maya.
I won't abuse it. Won't send unsolicited nudes.
You really aren't 13 anymore, are you?
Nope. I'm an adult who has had sex in pretty much every position under the sun. This might be untrue. I honestly have no idea. Would you like to know more? I'm over it now, but I had a pretty intense drug phase. Mostly soft, but I tried some hard ones. MDMA, coke.
Christ.
He rubs a hand down his face.
Okay. This I'm telling Eli.
Go ahead. Like I said, I got over it.
How?
I've had such bad trips. One time I kept thinking there were magnets under my skin and little pieces of metal were flying at me. And then my brain zapped for a month. I shudder. Listen. You did a nice thing for your friend's sister when her boyfriend dumped her for a sweeter and prettier girl. I want to reward this good behavior by taking you to Loudon's. He sighs deeply and says nothing. I yawn because it's 1 a.m., way past my bedtime. I might take a nap until...
She's not.
Connor says. Hmm? Another yawn.
Prettier.
Who?
Georgie, or whatever the hell her name is.
Aw, you're sweet.
And you need a mirror.
My heart skips. Maybe you like brunettes.
I don't.
You like blondes?
I don't like anyone. I do, however, own a pair of working eyes.
This is very nice. But I don't need you to lie to me.
It's not a lie. I have no horse in this race. I talked with her for a few minutes and she seems like a nice girl. If I wasn't certain that she's been fucking your boyfriend behind your back for weeks, I would have no negative feelings toward her.
You think so? That... Do you think they got together before Alfie and I broke up? He shoots me a come now look.
Maya.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I rub my eyes. I just keep wondering if Rose knew.
Rose?
My best friend. Her cousin. She's the one who introduced Georgia and me. And then 2 years ago, when Georgia's roommate graduated, I moved in this apartment, and when I found out about her and Alfie and it all went down, Rose told me that she had no idea.
She knew.
Park says. How can you tell?
What your roommate and your ex did is so abominable and devoid of decency. If your friend had found out with you, she would have helped you sharpen every knife in the kitchen.
I laugh. And tear up a little. And yawn. I kind of thought maybe Alfie was the one.
Based on what?
He's funny. Especially when he's drunk. And he left me space. I need a lot of space sometimes. And he held me when I wanted to be snuggled.
All of these things you listed, a dog could do.
A brief hesitation. Then he continues.
He may have been one of the ones, but he wasn't the one. You're young and more beautiful than you yet realize. And you'll be the smartest person in most of the rooms you'll enter throughout your life. You're better off without some guy who just asked me for pointers on how to break into the crypto space.
Ugh, he's so obsessed with that. I bury my face in the pillow. I shouldn't have let his cuteness blind me.
Cuteness? He looks like he was drawn by my right hand.
I laugh into the memory foam, the taste of damp linens in my mouth. And just as I'm about to ask Connor whether he's a lefty, I fall into a deep and dreamless sleep. 6 days before the wedding. Chapter 12. Present day, Taormina, Italy. Sicily is not quiet. And yet, despite a handful of overactive, raucous gulls right outside my window, the droning buzz of cicadas, and the rhythmic wash of the waves along the shore, I don't wake until mid-morning. I throw open the heavy silk curtains and tiptoe out on the balcony, not fully convinced of the solidity of 19th century Italian engineering. Watch the sea shimmer, lazy, quiet. Down below, Lucrezia chats with other staff, sweeps the patio, gestures for the furniture to be rearranged, yells at a trio of teenage-looking boys who are taking a cigarette break on the steps of the gazebo. The sun is already high, bathing the sand, the grass, the cobblestone paths in golden beams that have me itching to go explore. Back home, in Texas, the light is white hot and relentless, and I do my best to avoid being outside. The heat here, though, feels qualitatively different. Drier, more ancient, punctuated by oleander-scented breeze and blocky stone walls that keep the inside of my room just cool enough, even without AC. In the garden, no evidence remains of last night's ravagement. I try to picture Jade's reaction upon hearing that Mr. Axel McHockeyman, the most famous person we know, poisoned the entire wedding party, and chuckle to myself. I hope someone took pictures. Her birthday's coming up, and a scrapbook of what happened would make for an excellent gift. I get dressed quickly, cutoffs and a tank top, and go look for coffee, making a few stops on the way. I think I can sue him, is the first thing Neota tells me after opening her door. Even in a mysteriously stained Hot Girls Litigate t-shirt, she looks like $1 million. At the very least, I can murder him without doing any jail time. No one would convict. Jury nullification. It's on Wikipedia. Look it up. I bite back a smile. Do you need anything? Like what? His severed balls stuffed in the mouth hole of his severed head? On a platinum platter? She sounds hopeful. I was thinking more like a glass of water, but she slams the door in my face. Rue isn't doing much better, at least judging by the way her usually straight spine seems to coil around the door jamb.
I feel stupid. Being a food scientist, she says, low voice raspier than usual. I assumed that no bacteria would survive such a high ethanol environment, but the alcohol content of limoncello-type drinks typically ranges from 25 to 35%, and anything less than 50 would leave a sizable margin of error. The main issue is the biofilm that Staph aureus can form. You know which ones, right?
She looks so serious, I want to hug her. Can't say I do.
Bacteria aggregate around the surface of a cell, and...
Babe,
Eli says, pulling her backward and into himself. They both look greenish, and about 2 decades older than last night. I hope the wedding makeup artist is a good one.
Let's go to sleep, okay?
He coaxes her back inside the room. Tiny, who would never leave Eli and Rue in this time of dire need, disappears after them. Minami, wearing the pajamas with her baby's face plastered all over that I gave her as a present last winter, reassures me that she won't need childcare for the day. Kaida and I will have some loud fun right next to where Daddy is passed out, won't we? I consider sliding an I Love Philly Flyers note under Axel's door, but it seems like too much work, so I head downstairs. The spread Lucrezia prepared in the dining room pulls a gasp from me. A pristine white linen cloth, various wicker baskets lined in gingham fabric and full of fresh bread, croissants and brioche, glass jars of jam and honey, little pots of yellow butter. There are several ceramic vases brimming with bright pink, magenta, and white bougainvillea. It looks so rustic and picture-perfect. I briefly wonder if I stumbled on the set of a high-fiber breakfast cereal commercial. But Connor's presence drains the vibes of any idol. He sits alone at the head of the long table, chin resting on one hand, 2 fingers thoughtfully brushing his lips. He glares at his open laptop like he's a hairbreadth from Venmoing someone to have it murdered. Look at you, being all Citizen Kane, I say, ignoring the way my stomach flips onto itself. He glances up, still scowling, and gestures for me to sit on his right. I don't know why, but I do just that.
Maya?
Yep.
Does physics have an explanation for why humans insist on being such fucking shitheads?
Not as far as I know, but I could inquire. He grunts, closing his laptop. In the morning, the silver strands throughout his hair are even more visible. Is it work stuff? The active deal thing?
No.
He shakes his head, runs a palm across his clean-shaved jaw. I'm tempted to prod, find out more, but Lucrezia comes in a flurry of loud, drawn-out vowels, her hands curling warmly around my shoulders. As one of the precious few who refused to drink Axel's death juice, I skyrocketed to a very high place in her esteem. She beams, then says something about café, while pointing at me, and when Connor nods, she ruffles his hair in a way that seems a bit too familiar, even for a touchy-feely nation. You don't happen to be her love child, do you? I ask, taking a sip of water. He shrugs.
Knowing my father, it's very possible.
I think he's joking. What do you mean? Did you not just meet her?
I used to come here as a kid. It's one of the many properties my father owned.
Oh. When did he sell it?
He didn't.
But you said owned. He leans back, studies me for a long beat.
Did you not hear?
Hear what?
My father died.
What? When?
A few months ago.
I don't know what to say. Because the day my dad died, I felt as though I would vanish any minute. I had been, first and foremost, his goblin princess. If he was no longer around to call me that, that meant that nothing could tether me to this world. I could see no path forward. The pain was staggering, incomprehensible. Connor's father, though, congratulations, is all I can think of saying. After a beat, Connor smiles, looking pleased and surprised.
Thank you, Trouble.
I would have sent you a celebratory edible arrangement. I'm not sure why Eli didn't tell me.
Probably because it was widely covered by international media.
He sounds gently amused. Your dad was that big of an asshole, huh?
Regrettably.
We regard each other. Between us, only a table corner and a whole lot of silence. So, I ask, tearing off a piece of bread. The crust is as thin and crispy as the inside is airy. Who's the new owner of... I stop when Lucrezia returns and deposits a glass in front of me. I thank her, then wait for her to leave again before asking in a low whisper, why did she bring me a slushy? Connor looks at me like I just produced a legally actionable claim.
Jesus Christ.
What?
Maya.
What did I do?
Took a dump on centuries of Sicilian culture.
I blink. Because I asked about the slushy?
It's called a granita. Granita al café. With panna, the heavy cream on top.
He plucks a brioche bun from the basket on his left and puts it on my plate. It's oddly shaped, a round, donut-like base, and a tinier ball on top of it. Am I supposed to drink after I eat the boob with a giant nipple that's having a severe allergic reaction, or before? I mostly ask because I love the way the corners of Connor's eyes crinkle together when he's annoyed at me. But the Arabica aroma wafts up, making me salivate, and Connor, he's always been good at feeding me.
Shut up and eat.
It turns out to be crunchier than a slushy, made of little shards of ice infused with sweet espresso. It's delicious, of course, creamy and refreshing and cloud fluffy, and I'm moving here, I tell him after two bites, scooping more granita onto my pastry. He smiles, staring at me in that way that I sometimes wonder if I imagined. Enchanted. Sweet, almost. Like I'm precious. Like he cares about me enough to not go 10 months without contact. No, I'm serious. After I finish scarfing this down, I'm gonna throw my passport into the ocean.
The jellyfish will rejoice, I'm certain.
So what are the rules? Is granita just for breakfast? Can I have it multiple times a day? Or is it like having cappuccino after 11 a.m.?
Lucrezia might judge you if you substitute granita for every meal.
And since I didn't drink the E. coli juice, I want to hold on to her good opinion as long as I possibly can. I push my polished-off plate away. Maybe I'll find another downtown. I'm going to check out the Greek theater anyway. His eyes narrow.
Who are you going with?
Bob, I say.
Who?
I point to the right. He's my imaginary friend. Big Shamrock Rovers fan. You two would not get along.
Maya.
Come on! The only person who feels good enough to take a stroll among the ruins with me is Manami, and she's sticking around to take care of Sol. You know I'm going alone. His scowl deepens.
You can't.
Why?
You know why.
Ah, yes. I push back my chair and rise to my feet, which prompts him to do the same. You're right. I absolutely do not have the experience or the ability to take care of myself in a foreign country. I squint. Wait a minute.
This is different. You don't speak the language and...
And the forest is thick and dark and terrifying, full of dangerous beasts that will wrestle me to steal my rucksack and the mulberries it contains. He gives me a flat look. Connor, it's the middle of the day in one of the most tourist-heavy cities in Europe. I have cell reception. Given the circumstances, I think I can manage to not get trafficked. And if you don't believe me, just come with me. I throw it out like a dare, mostly to get him off my back, but the glint in his eyes, the sudden tension in his fist, they are dead giveaways. That he's considering it. He's considering spending the day with me. At once, my blood is carbonated. Because I wasn't lying when I told him that he was my best friend, or that I missed him. And even if he disappeared into Tamron's room last night, even if it's obvious that there is no romantic future in store for us, I'm not ready to move on from him. I step closer. Come on, I say. The conifer scent of his soap, the warm notes of his skin underneath, they're seared in my olfactory memory. It'll be fun, I add, making a point not to sound too eager. Otherwise, his no would be immediate, a hatchet falling between us.
Will it?
He looks at me sternly. We've visited places together before. We like the same stuff.
Which is?
Walking around, getting lost, eating, laughing about how uncultured we are. Let's go have fun while everyone else convalesces in their little sanatoriums.
I don't think that's the correct plural.
Yeah, me neither. His expression slowly softens, then does something more than that.
Okay,
he says at last. Okay, I repeat, turning toward the door, trying to stop my body from vibrating with something that feels like hope. I don't want him to see my happiness and push me away. He's my friend. I missed him. If this is all I get with him, that's enough. Remember the first day? Edinburgh, breakfast, then the rest, always together? Please tell me you didn't forget. You have to go up to your room before we leave? I ask. He shakes his head.
You?
I do the same. We turn, walk outside, side by side, in step. So, the Greek theater first, and then there's a church I want to see.
The Duomo?
Yep. He nods.
It's beautiful.
Good. Our arms nearly brush. Then they do. My elbow against his warm skin. And after that, I was thinking...
Yeah?
Well, I heard a lot about this amazing homemade arancello they sell at the market. He knocks his shoulder against mine. The heat of it scalds me.
Too soon.
No, really. They told me great things about its cleansing properties.
Trouble.
But it's so popular right now. Even professional athletes recommend. Hey, you two! We both look over our shoulders, both turn around. Avery is standing on the first step of the stone porch, wearing a pretty blue sundress that makes her look like a water nymph, the goddess of the sky. Are you going to Taormina? Beside me, Connor tenses. He says nothing for a silence that stretches too long, and I'm the one who nods. In response, her grin is dazzling. May I join you? Chapter 13. 3 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days earlier. Edinburgh, Scotland.
So maybe we sorted this out, and we can carry on as before?
Rose's expression is so wide-eyed and hopeful, I have to make the executive decision not to laugh in her face. I woke up this morning to a Connorless room. A phone number scribbled on a notepad on my desk, and a full house. Rose and her new girlfriend, Sarika, sit at the kitchen table with Georgia and Alfie, eating eggs and sausage. They've all been debriefed on my wild night of passion. I can only hope that's how they referred to it. Clearly, they plan to use it as proof that Georgia and Alfie did nothing wrong, ever.
The people in this room are my best friends, Rose says, one hand dramatically poised on her chest. It's very important that you guys all get on with each other.
I'm totally okay with everyone,
Georgia says, and I have to bite my tongue before asking, what could you possibly have to object to?
Maya, I just want you to know that I don't mind living with you, she adds. Her eyes are the exact same shade of green as Rose's.
I might have to burn every item of clothing I own in that color.
It would be so shitty of me to ask you to move out. It never even occurred to me.
I've been trying not to abuse my therapy speak, but I'm starting to feel a little gaslighted. It had never occurred to me either, I mumble.
2 months. 2 months of school left. Then I'll be free to move my single, friendless self elsewhere.
I'm so sorry. I stand from the stool where I was sat, more or less against my will. I have to go, or I'll be late for breakfast with Connor.
About Connor, Rose starts.
Be serious, Maya.
Alfie interrupts.
You can't trust him. You just met this bloke on vacation last year, and now you're...
Banging him against your door lingers around the table, deliciously unsaid. Sarika, the only person in this room who's not currently in my little make-suffer book, snorts between bites.
I think we can safely assume that the Harkness Scion is not some kind of catfishy murder boy.
Alfie scowls.
What's that supposed to mean?
I highly doubt that Phineas Harkness's eldest son is walking about kidnapping American-born students.
He probably just wants to get laid. No offense. None taken, I say. But the atmosphere is still full of skepticism, and Sarika sets down her fork.
Do you guys seriously not know who Phineas Harkness is?
She rolls her eyes, mutters something about financial illiteracy.
Tell them, Maya.
I clear my throat.
Actually. Oh, my. Okay.
Whatever.
His father is CEO of the largest hospitality company in the UK. He owns dozens of luxury resorts. The lining of his cells is made of gold. His son's in finance, though he does biotech. Has his own farm. He also shits cash.
She browses her phone, hands it to Alfie. From across the table, I spot the Forbes logo and a picture of Connor with Manami, Eli, and Sul. They're all smiling. I hold my breath. Thankfully, no one in the room recognized my brother.
Is that supposed to make us worry less?
Alfie is unimpressed.
Has anyone watched American Psycho?
A surprisingly good point. You can keep an eye on me. I'm still sharing my location with Rose, I say, before waving goodbye and hurrying down the stairs. In a weird way, their worry warms my heart. It tells me that they still care about me, and
no! I need to snap out of it.
Yes, they are my friends and I love them. Yes, they are incredibly toxic company for me right now. Yes, I'd rather spend the morning with my brother's colleague whom I've known for over a decade and yet I've thought about fewer times than I've seen Pride and Prejudice 2005. Not something I ever believed I'd say, but here I am. Watching Connor Harkness leaf through a financial newspaper like he's living in a 1950s time capsule, plopping down in the seat in front of him because he snagged a window table at the Fountain Bridge Loudon's on a Saturday morning. Hey, I say when he looks up. A sudden jittery rush pinkens my cheeks, the morning air fresh against my skin. This feels contextually wrong. Someone I know from Austin, Texas is here in Edinburgh. An improbable collision of parallel worlds.
Good morning.
He sets the paper aside, and I'm beginning to think that I really lucked out when the Harkness receptionist put me through to him. My brother has a handful of friends, but if any other of them had come to the rescue, the whole, hey, I'm rebounding with a dude in his 30s tale would have been much less believable. But Connor looks nice. He did last night, despite the pretentious rich guy aesthetic, and he does this morning. Cropped wavy hair, somewhat disheveled, jeans, a thin sweater, sunglasses.
What?
He asks when I stare. I love it, the scrape in his voice. Nothing, just... I lean back against my chair, grinning. I put on some makeup and my favorite sweater, showered, washed my hair and left the curls to flow over my shoulders. See, I'm trying to say, I can get my shit together. I was at my worst last night, but I can do better. No need to think of me as a loser. Thank you for arranging this.
No problem.
Silence. We regard each other for longer than is normal, or polite, and... Oh no, I say.
Oh no?
This may have been a mistake.
You said you loved Loudons.
It's not that. It's just... You and I gesture between us. Do we even have anything to talk about? I mean, you're kinda advanced in age. His forehead furrows, a deeply etched scowl.
I was promised food, not beration.
Oh, I can deliver both. I grin, tilt my head. It's okay, we'll find something. You can tell me how life was before electricity. He gives me a stern, prolonged stare. Just kidding. Age is nothing but a number and all that. He winces.
Don't say that.
Why?
Because it's what some piece of shit who hangs out in online forums with minors would say.
I laugh, but he doesn't. Holds my eyes as he says,
Age is years of accumulated experience. Age is lessons learned.
That's not always true. Lots of factors intersect with that. A tired sigh.
Have you gotten in touch with your brother? He landed early this morning.
Not yet. A single eyebrow peeks from behind a dark lens.
I thought you needed to speak with him very urgently, so urgently I showed up at your doorstep.
Correct. And since I wouldn't want you to think that I don't appreciate it, I've decided to let Eli focus on his Australian deal and to make do with you. Congratulations! You have been promoted.
So I'm your brother now?
Sure! I joke, even though it feels wrong. To Connor, too, judging from the set of his brow. It's a relief being interrupted by the server for our order. When's your flight back? I ask once she's gone.
Afternoon.
Are you going back to Ireland?
Austin. Unless my father trolls us with another disappointingly undeadly health scare.
Connor, this is terrible.
I know. He made me come all the way over here and won't even kick the bucket.
No, I meant our coffees are brought to the table. The way you speak of him, do you really not care that he might die?
I do care. I am actively upset every second he remains alive.
Is this an inheritance thing? I lean my elbows on the table. Do you want his money? He chuckles against the rim of his mug.
I will not be in that will.
Why?
Because nothing would give me more pleasure than to donate his earthly hoard to the charities he most hated. And he's aware of it.
Riveting. All of this. Some real succession shit. Would you mind if I asked you approximately 200 highly unseemly and increasingly intrusive questions about your dysfunctional family? Don't say yes, please. You already know all about me, after all.
Do I?
I shrug. You know the heart-rending parts that make people look at me like I'm the most banged-up apple at the supermarket? It's only fair that you share yours. His full lips twitch. A small smile that softens his angular face.
I'm here at your service, Trouble.
Does your father know how you feel?
That's the wrong question.
How so?
My father doesn't give a fuck about anyone's interior life. He's a bully who doesn't see other humans as living beings with feelings. In his worldview, every relationship can be conceptualized in terms of power. Every interaction is a wrestling match. And the only acceptable endgame is him coming out on top.
He takes a leisurely sip of his coffee. Like he didn't just describe Narcissism 101 the musical. Why is he like that?
Fucked up genetics and formative years. My grandfather raised him to think that kindness was a weakness. My father raised us to think that cruelty is strength. Shaped us in his image and likeness with varying degrees of success.
He failed with you, though. He shakes his head.
Out of all of us, I'm the most similar to him.
No, you're not, I laugh, genuinely amused. You're here with me.
Only because I was in the area, and I need Eli to focus on the...
On the Myers deal, yeah. Except you were in another country, Connor. And as you mentioned, you are Harkness's assistant to the regional manager, or whatever, and could have easily finished up that deal yourself. Our breakfast plates arrive. When I pick up a slice of toast and defiantly chew it in his face, he turns his head to hide a smile. If you're so heartless, why did you even come to Europe? Wouldn't you want your father to die alone?
I told you. I came for my stepmother.
He shoves an entire tomato in his mouth in a single bite, somehow gracefully, and then takes his time chewing it.
My siblings tend to gang up on her.
Why?
They see her as a gold digger who married my father for his money.
How come?
Probably because she is a gold digger who married my father for his money.
He seems unbothered.
But she's been putting up with his shit for nearly 10 years. Whatever riches she'll walk away with, they're earned.
Oh. Will she have long enough to enjoy the fruits of her labors once he dies?
I hope so, since she's younger than me.
I almost swallow my tongue. What?
Only by a few months.
This feels... I tilt my head, wondering what Connor's lines are, what his reactions might be to have them crossed. Fucked up.
Funny you should say that, because fucked up is written in Latin on the Harkness family insignia. Problematicus.
I laugh. Was it weird when they got married?
Nah, I was already in the US for school, and our house had been a revolving door of beautiful young women since the day my mom died.
Ah, was that your dad's way of dealing with grief and heartbreak? He snorts.
The women were there when my mother was alive, too. He simply had the grace not to bring them home.
I see. And do you like your stepmother?
A lot.
I gasp. Are you secretly in love with her? Please say yes. I need this juiciness in my life.
Your friend group already has plenty of incestuous juiciness. You don't need to borrow mine. And no, I'm not. She is, however, my one family member who wouldn't throw another human being into a wood chipper for a wad of cash, which makes me partial to her.
I watch him neatly cut into his meat, take a tidy, gentlemanly bite. Did you... He spears a piece of tomato, patiently waiting for me to continue. You used to date Minami, right?
This is refreshing.
I cock my head, confused by his response, and he explains...
Someone bringing up Minami in my presence.
Oh, do people not?
Not our relationship. Lots of pussyfooting.
Is it because you are still in love with her?
I still love her very much, yes.
Oh, wow. I scoff.
Wow.
If you think I don't see what you did there... He smiles again, says nothing. I might be ready to offer him money to take off those damn sunglasses. What about Saul? Are you jealous? Do you sometimes wish you could peel the skin off his scalp just a little bit?
Is that what you want to do to the blonde?
Yeah, I say, dejected. Please don't leave me alone with this horrible thing I just said. His shoulders shake with laughter.
I wish I could. But have you met Zul? He's a great guy. There's nothing to hate there.
He's not wrong. Sol is such a quiet presence. I used to joke with Eli that he acted more like Minami's bodyguard than a partner, a gentle giant velcroed to her side. I was obsessed with Minami growing up. Still am, really. And I have to admit, I've always wondered what she saw in him. Other guys would jump at the chance to shit-talk their ex's husband. Connor just says,
"It's not for us to know. He's different with her."
How do you know?
Because that's how relationships work. If it's a good one, you let loose. You show all sides of yourself.
Yeah? Then maybe my relationship with Alfie wasn't all that good.
It wasn't.
How do you even know?
The post-its on your desk with city names. You had 7. 4 on the right, Austin, London, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Durham, and 3 on the left, and Edinburgh was nowhere to be seen.
Okay, Sherlock. And you can divine that my relationship with Alfie sucked because?
The post-its on the right are graduate programs that you are still considering.
My heart speeds up. How do you know that the ones on the left?
You discarded them a while ago. They were stacked together, for one. And you didn't doodle the city skylines on the bottom. Nice big Ben, by the way. But there was no Edinburgh post-it in either pile, because you eliminated that option a while ago, long before you broke up. Even though last night Alfie told me he's got a full-time museum gig lined up for next year, here in the city. And it didn't sound like fresh news.
I lick my lips. Long-distance relationships are a thing.
You didn't even apply for Edinburgh, did you?
I bite the inside of my cheek. No, I didn't. I want to tell him that it wasn't that deep, but maybe...
I'm surprised Austin's still in the running.
I am too. Have been surprised about it for ages. I applied almost in a trance, and when the acceptance letter came, I felt a rush of relief. I don't think I want to go home, but...
Is April 15th the deadline to commit?
He asks, clearly savvy about the process. I nod. Maybe you're about to see a lot more of me. The thought feels oddly organic. We could stay in touch. Hang out. You can tell me everything about the maladjusted world of billionaire families, and I can let you know with whom my weekly boyfriend is cheating on me. That stuff. He grins, the widest one I've gotten from him yet.
Sounds like a plan.
What do you think Eli would say?
About you moving back to Austin?
Yeah. He observes me closely.
I think you should stop overthinking your brother's feelings and have an honest conversation with him. You'd be surprised at how much good that might do you.
I don't bother hiding my eye roll. And maybe, to punish him a little, I ask, how long ago did you and Minami break up?
In grad school. Well over 10 years.
He rests his fork on the side of his plate, sits back, like he's waiting for me to continue my third degree. Why?
I asked her to marry me.
Oh. I take a sip of water, just because, play with the eggs on my plate. That's not a catalyst for a breakup, usually.
It is if one party says no.
Ouch. Did she break your heart? I study him. His body language. He doesn't seem nervous with this line of questioning. The opposite, in fact. He really is charming. Surprisingly sophisticated for someone who's also rough around the edges. Is your heart broken, Connor?
Yeah.
There's a faint nausea in my stomach. At the idea of him still being hung up on this formidable woman I've idolized my whole life. at the certainty that no one will ever love me that way. My worry must show, because Connor takes his sunglasses off to say,
"But it wasn't Minami's doing."
"What do you mean?" His brown eyes are filled with humor.
"My heart didn't break because we split. We split because it was malfunctioning to begin with."
I twist the phrase around in my head, trying to understand. I almost have it when my phone buzzes against the table. It's a text from Sammy, an American engineering student I originally met through Rose. He and I have taken many classes together and ended up becoming good friends. Sammy.
"R told me your new BF is in town. He's totally welcome to come tonight."
Sammy.
"BTW, good on you. Alfie is a POS.
"Welcome to go where?" I start typing, but stop before sending the text with a soft, "Shit." "Thank you," I reply, "and happy birthday, see you later."
"What?"
Connor is asking. The sunglasses are back on. "Nothing," I say, but I run a hand through my hair and show him my phone.
"How do you have 437 unread emails?"
I know, right? I've been pretty good at keeping the number low lately. He seems bemused. "What? Do you clear your inbox every day?"
"I have an executive assistant in charge of that. Sometimes more, depending on the quarter and on the urgency of certain matters."
"Of course he does. Here, look at this text. I'd forgotten that it's my friend Sammy's birthday. We're meeting at a pub to celebrate tonight, Alfie and Georgia included." I give Connor my most sardonic smile. "I know, I know. You're probably thinking, Maya, I cannot believe you get to have all the fun. But don't worry, Sammy has already heard about you, and you are invited, so..."
"I'll go,"
he says, before stuffing his face with a mouthful of toast. I slow blink at him. "No, I didn't mean... This is after you leave, and I'll be fine. Last night I wasn't doing so hot, but I'm feeling better. I can handle Alfie and Georgia."
"I don't trust your friends."
"God, I no longer do either. But what about your plane ticket? Can you change it that close to departure?" He stares at me, chewing, waiting for me to reach one of two realizations. Either he doesn't care about the money, or he chartered a plane. Fuck the plankton, I guess. "You don't have to," I start to say. But I bet Connor Harkness lives by the knowledge that he's not forced to do shit. And if he stayed a little longer, if I got to hang out with him a few more hours, wouldn't that be fun? Chapter 14. Present day, Taormina, Italy. We drive downtown in a tiny but surprisingly sleek red Fiat. And by we, I mean Connor, the only one who cares to operate a stick shift. I have half a mind to make him teach me, but I somehow end up buckled in the back seat while the grown-ups in the front discuss portfolio prepping, bolt-on acquisitions, and something called EBITDA. They're playing 3D chess, and I'm still learning how to walk. Cheek against the glass, I stare at the glimmering coast. Avery doesn't like oranges, and was thus spared from the staffening. Had, in fact, no idea it even occurred. She went to bed early, jet-lagged, and woke up to a decimated wedding party. I'm glad she's healthy, but when she makes Connor laugh with a joke on cash flow management, I decide to sing a sea shanty in my head and block them out. By the time we reach the Greek theater, however, my excitement is bubbling up again. I've seen some Roman ruins in the UK, but this might be the oldest piece of architecture I'll ever step into, and I'm fully ready to be spirited away in a time travel type situation. It's Connor who buys our entrance tickets. Avery stands next to him as he hands a few bills to a bored-looking boy in a booth that looks on the verge of catching fire. When they come back with a few paper slips, she's chuckling. "Everything okay?"
I ask. My eyes find Connor, who's not laughing. He is, in fact, inscrutable.
The guy over there was trying to figure out the total, and did you hear the word he used?
Nope.
Filia.
And it means?
Daughter? He pointed at you and asked if our daughter was older than 18.
She shakes her head, still laughing, but I turn to meet Connor's gaze. There is a challenge in his eyes, a hint of, I told you so. After all, he's always had the burning need to remind me that our age difference was an insurmountable obstacle to my presence in his life.
He sure did.
Connor drawls slowly, and I know that he wants to make a big deal out of this. A teachable moment. So I flash him my cheekiest smile. I hope you lied to him and saved those 5 euros, Daddy. I step into him, pretending not to notice the thick swallow in his throat, the way his entire body seems to cease to function. Still holding his eyes, I pluck one of the 3 tickets from his fingers and slowly walk toward the entrance gate.
I bet this happens all the time,
Avery tells me while we make our way down the steep tribunes. The staircase is treacherous and the steps narrow.
With you and Eli, I mean, people assuming he's your dad?
Sometimes, I say, to get the conversation over with. Truth is, whenever it does happen, Eli loves to play into it, pretend that I am his daughter, embarrass me with dad jokes. But my brother and Connor are fundamentally different. Eli feels young, with his boyish, open-hearted, carefree energy. Connor, less so, and it has little to do with graying hair and everything to do with the 6 walls twining around him at any given time.
How old are you, Maya?
She asks. 23.
Nobody likes you when you're 23,
she says, and Connor snorts out a laugh. I stop, turn back to look at him wide-eyed, which has him mumbling something about how young I am.
That's a reference, Maya. From a song by...
Blink 182, I am aware. I was just surprised. I didn't know you Irish boys partook in the oeuvre of the SoCal skate punk scene.
I live to surprise you.
Huge fan, huh?
Massive.
I know he's trying to avoid laughing, because I'm doing the same. Connor's musical taste leans toward industrial techno music, or as I like to call it, construction site noises. He usually retaliates by referring to mine as girls with lisps crying in their bathrooms.
Watch out for that stone over there, Avery.
Oh, shoot. Thanks, Hark. I'm starting to suspect that the Greek did not go for comfort quite like we do. Avery is not wearing heels, or anything as impractical as that, but on a couple of tricky jumps, her strappy sandals have me fearing for the integrity of her femurs. Connor helps her through all of them, hands wrapped around her waist to lift her off a particularly high ledge. Then again, even as he helps her, his eyes are often on me. I jump, easy, sure-footed in my sneakers, mostly to make a point. Connor looks away, but not before I see the amused shake of his head. Coming here at high noon was a mistake. There's not a hint of shade in sight, and heat radiates from every direction. The sun, the stones, the sweaty bodies of the tourists. In the middle of the orchestra, I can barely keep my eyes open, but Connor silently slides his sunglasses over the bridge of my nose. They probably cost more than my master's degree. I debate accidentally stepping on them, just to see his reaction. Truth is, I'm more likely to sleep with them under my pillow, because my spine has the consistency of soggy cereal.
Can you take a picture and make it look like Maya and I are holding up that column?
Avery asks.
Probably no.
You always were a bad Instagram boyfriend.
My gut tightens, even as Connor sighs and says,
I think I have the perspective figured out. I'm going to the other side of the orchestra. You two stay right there.
The second he's out of earshot, Avery turns to me.
I hope you're not feeling uncomfortable.
How so?
Because Hark and I used to date,
The heat is making me dizzy. Avery, though, seems to be waiting for a reply.
Right,
I say. I'm aware that going sightseeing with two exes might make for an awkward situation. It didn't occur to me until we were in the car.
The sun bakes the back of my head. Did I forget to put sunscreen on it?
No. No, it's fine. Okay. You just seemed a little tense. Like you find us maybe hard to navigate. It hits me then. For the past hour, while I've been in my head about having to share Connor with his ex, she's been worrying about me. The tension she's picking up on is entirely my fault. God, I can be such a self-centered bitch. But I want you to know there are no hard feelings between me and Hark. We had a really amicable breakup. It was the wrong time, not the wrong people. Honestly, I still really like him. And vice versa. My heart lurches, then falls silent. I wonder if she knows about Tamron. Then I wonder why it's my business. I'm sorry I seemed out of sorts, Avery. I swallow. Smile. I don't take this personally, but I was looking forward to exploring the city alone. I enjoy that kind of stuff. Then Connor thought it would be too dangerous and decided to come along. Technically, it's not a lie. Maybe that's why she buys it so easily. She gives me a knowing look, like we're sharing a secret. I get it. I used to do lots of solo traveling. It's such a unique experience. I nod. And that's so dumb of him. I mean, you've been living abroad. Right? Tell you what, if you want to sneak away, I'll come up with some excuse, or say you went back home. Or I can distract him. Are you going to flash him? What other diversion methods are there? I laugh through the lump in my throat and glance at the other end of the orchestra, where Connor looks unusually tiny and insignificant. A feat for someone who makes any room feel smaller. It's because of the stage and the view behind him, the blues and the greens, the Ionian shoreline with its hilly coastal settlement, and then, in the backdrop of it all, Mount Etna. I think about the men and women who built this theater, the Greeks who sailed all the way over here and found the place too beautiful to leave, the Romans who joined them, the Arabs and the Normans and the House of Bourbon. The world is so big, and we are just clumps of atoms. What's a tiny little bit of heartbreak when faced with the vastness of mankind? Does it matter that a love is unrequited? If the universe started with a hot fireball,